The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
I'm already two claws deep, boys.
I can hear James's clicking, but you know what? I'm okay with
it. I'm typing. I don't care.
it's better than what we had before.
I'm typing. Leave me alone. So.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well.
There it is.
And there it
Jesus
is.
Jesus Christ. Hello, and welcome to the NPC podcast. Yes, we're noobs, wannabe pros, and definitely noobs when it comes to audio recording this week, and occasional completionists gather around to discuss the latest in the world of gaming. Man, that was a tough... We did 40 minutes of troubleshooting, listeners. It was a lot, but I have a lot of energy now from the heat. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There's a lot of NPC podcasts out there. But not all of them are, let's say, witnessing an aurora borealis at this time of the year in this part of the country, localized entirely in James's kitchen.
What the fuck?
Can I see it?
Can I see it? No.
We're having steamed hams.
We're having steamed hams as the sponsor for this episode, for sure. I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. With me is the newly fantastically sounding James Brizuela after 40 minutes of troubleshooting.
Hey, you know what? This is what podcasting is all about.
That's true.
A bunch of troubleshooting, and then eventually an episode is recorded.
Yeah, right. And then, of course, we have Alex Cordova as well.
Meanwhile, I'm over here with like a blanket over my head, like trying to capture... The what's it called? You know, the proverbial bouncing off the wall sound recordings and all that.
Oh, yeah, but dude, you know, look at you. And you were getting drunker as we were trying to figure this shit out. Oh, so that's perfect.
I was like, you and your little dog.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, cool. All right, now that we're here, guys, we have actually a lot of news stories for this episode. So there's a good amount here that we got to talk about. And we're going to be doing a lot of shit talking. I especially think for this first story. So, James, please let us know what's up.
Let's just kill Rocksteady. How about that?
Jesus.
Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League has been delayed again. This game has just been stuck in developmental hell for I don't know how long now. Like, when did we even, like, get the first trailer? Like, E3 2019? I believe 2020, maybe?
I don't think it was that early, but I want to say 2021.
2021. I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm exaggerating. Okay, 2021. But still. So the new release date is February 2nd, 2024. It was actually supposed to come out in July of this year, I believe.
It was May 25th.
May 25th. There it is. Mm-hmm. I can read. it was originally supposed to come out May 25th, but now it's been delayed practically another whole year, February 2nd, 2024. I think the issue with it being delayed again has everything to do with it being a live service game and you everyone needing to have online access to play it, which is bizarre as hell. I don't know why they're doing that, but maybe that's what they're doing now, is they're retroactively trying to fix that, because that's bullshit for a lot of reasons. Like, Rocksteady was like single player all the way with the Batman Arkham game, so it's bizarre that they would want to make it online only. And I'm hoping that's what they're doing. I'm hoping they realize the backlash from, you know, the online community and the gaming community is enough to be like, all right, we need to walk this back, because that was a stupid fucking decision. But we'll see. I mean, it's been delayed, you know, what is that? May to February is what?
That's fucking huge, dude.
That's 9 months. 9 months of delay. So I don't know. We'll see what they're going to do. But, you know, there you go.
Yeah, I think it's exactly what you said, though. I think the backlash was so severe. They're like, okay, cool. This game doesn't fundamentally work without online for the way we developed it. We need to retool the entire base so people can play this shit offline by themselves, however the fuck they want to do it. Like, that's probably what's... Because that takes work. That takes a lot of fucking work. And I think they have a lot of work to do.
I would say, just FYI, too, I looked it up real quick. I pulled the James, looked that up real quick. And it was actually first announced of... 2020.
August 2020. I said that.
I'm sorry.
I said that.
That's what you said. 2019, but what's,
no, yeah, yeah. I said I was like 2019. I was like, no, 2020.
Yeah. 2020. August, I felt like August 2020 is when it was announced. It was probably leaked before that, but
yeah,
this is like what, year four now. It's
they announced it then, and then they gave us a teaser in 2021, but it was that cinematic one, and we didn't get gameplay until last year.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then all of the news that came out was just what, like 4 months ago, 3 months ago, maybe? And everybody was like, what the fuck? What are they doing? So, yeah.
Yeah.
I just cringe. I don't know, man. I'm not feeling this.
It's like that meme.
Yeah,
it's like that meme I sent you guys to.
Yeah, Alex sent us a meme, and it was basically showing how everyone's going to have gear for some fucking weird reason. Like, again, Rocksteady, you were good at, like, making a combat adventure game. Like, we don't need an RPG from you. Mm-mm. You know, the Batman was great because he had all his gadgets, and so would Harley Quinn be without needing gear. Like, we don't need that. Like, you know, King Shark is King Shark. He's going to be strong, and Captain Boomerang can throw a boomerang, and that's all he needs to do.
But how are they going to sell costumes on the shop, James? How are they going to get that money? Get the money? Come on.
By making a great single-player game that everybody would buy, like they bought the Arkham games,
That's so 2019 of you.
Apparently.
That's so 2019.
Apparently.
I was going to say, here, I'm gonna make them money right now, what everyone would want, okay? What everyone wanted when they announced this was, like James kind of mentioned right there, right? You got four unique people, unique characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give us a storyline for each of them, single-player, and then if you want to play online with your buds, then, hey, cool, but the main selling point should have been every character should have been different. Not every character has a gun, and every character is fucking jumping around a goddamn city like it's Fortnite.
You know? That's exactly the analogy.
Like, and that's what the gameplay was, right? Mm-hmm. It's like why the fuck is Killer Shark using a machine gun jumping in the air and all that shit? It's like, dude, come on, that's not what people wanted.
Because they want to sell the guns, but they also don't want to program unique weapons for each person.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
so like, they're all on the same base.
Yeah, it's like every fucking character, okay? Deadshot, yeah, have him use the guns, that's cool. Harley Quinn should have been using gadgets, like James said. Should have been like a melee type of jumping around focus. Captain Boomerang should have been like almost a Flash ripoff where he's jumping, he's running around super quick using the boomerang to zip zap, and then have Killer Shark be your fucking brute super strong guy that just runs around and wrecks people.
Man,
it's like, you know,
you're describing a game I want to play right now.
Exactly.
You're describing a game I would love to play. Wow, that sounds good.
But I think that's what everyone wanted to play.
and like reality, they should have copied the same formula that the Guardians of the Galaxy game did. Like, you don't necessarily have to just be one person, but you can pick like King Shark, be King Shark, and then have a secondary person or two people that you can switch off with. It doesn't have to be all four, it could be two of them. You know, you create a party, you go do your missions or whatever, and you can switch between them whenever you want to control whoever. And then give us co-op. Give us a really good co-op experience where literally we can play together and play as the four members. That's all they had to do, but they're fucking it all the way up.
Mm-hmm. It's for that money, baby. Yep. I mean, we'll see. We have 9 months to change our minds about this, but honestly, with that many delays, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, I think the hype is dead. No, I really don't see people excited about it. I'm whatever.
Yeah, like I said,
20 bucks, dude.
Spider-Man took the formula that Rocksteady created and made it better, and they're gonna do that again in Spider-Man 2 and with Wolverine. So at this point, it's like, Rocksteady, sorry, you're gonna get left in the dust of Sony. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's the same Marvel DC story we've seen time and time again in the cinemas. It's just happening out in games now.
Well, you know, Spider-Man was glorious, and like I said, they took that concept and made it better. Mm-hmm. And Rocksteady, for some reason, instead of building on what they accomplished with the Arkham games, they're just trying to go full RPG, which is something that nobody asked for. Like, Rocksteady isn't good at RPGs where you have to build a gear set and all that
skill trees and all that shit. Nah, that's fine.
But that's how you sell the fucking crystals to go fucking upgrade your character, dude, and the fucking crazy ass skins.
They didn't hold anything back.
It could have been an order from DC, but you know, I'm over it. I'm sorry. Rockstar's got to impress me. They have 9 months to do it. I'm sure there's going to be at least one or two more little big showcases that are like, oh, by the way, this is where we didn't fuck up, or we're sorry. It's going to be a we're sorry kind of like approach. But that's not a good basis to start the hype train. So, yeah, I'm over it. Sorry, Rocksteady. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, next one. Fuck it. Again, give him 9 months. We'll see. But this is the big one, and we all made our outing for this one earlier in the week. But the Super Mario movie, that bitch demolished the U.S. box office, well, worldwide. So Mario's second ever movie outing had a record-breaking 5-day run, becoming the highest 5-day earner ever, the biggest opening for a video game adaptation, the biggest opening for an Illumination film, second biggest opening ever for an animated film, the biggest opening of 2023, and the highest...
Whoa. Back that up. It's the biggest opening for an animated film, beating out Frozen 2.
Oh, I thought the final numbers were just below it.
No, it got 377, and Frozen 2 was at like 368. It beat Frozen 2.
It beat it then. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so it's the biggest opening for an animated film ever.
Jesus
Take
Christ.
That, Disney.
That, like, really, seriously.
Don't talk about your employer that way.
We'll bleep it out. We'll bleep it out.
Yeah.
Take that.
Blah, 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 blah.
Who could he be talking about? So it was also the highest opening weekend ever for an animated film in IMAX. So, you know, it did this with a massive divide between critics and audiences, one of the most substantial ones I've probably ever seen. And then, of course, in this whole press circuit, Miyamoto teased more Mario games in future Nintendo Directs. Man.
I would say this is the second biggest between critics and audiences. I believe the first is still Venom.
Yeah, that's because, another one. That's
yeah, because Venom was like 30%, like 20% from critics, and audiences rated it like close to 90 or at 90, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was doesn't matter, dude. Mario is the shit. Wait, what? You talking shit on Venom, dude? How dare you?
It was all right, dude. It was all right.
What? Venom is fantastic.
Oh, my God. It was a very good movie. I enjoyed the first Venom. I hadn't seen the second one.
It's pretty crappy. Don't do it.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not. I mean, I get what they were trying to go for, but they just botched it.
Yeah.
It's like, I get it. But I don't at the same time.
And, like, I feel bad because, like, Andy Serkis directed it. But I'm like, dude, come on, bro. You could have done a way better job than this.
I want to support you, but also I can't just give it to you. Like, that fucking sucked. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I do. Okay, so we're all going to eat crow here because we spent a whole segment talking shit on Chris Pratt in one of our last episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he actually kind of nailed it for me. I think he did a very good job in this movie.
It was a lot. It sucked because they gave us so little that it was kind of hard to really... I mean, not that they were going to give us, like, the full experience and we weren't going to get, like, 10 minutes of the movie or 15 minutes of the movie, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I you heard it here, people. I said Chris Pratt sounded stupid as hell, and I hated it. And honestly, like, he won me over, and I thought he sounded great. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it, and it was fine. You know, like, for what they did, like, the way that the movie was, like, I get it now why they went that route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure all of our friends have seen it and all that, but. Like, I get what they were going for, and the way that they did it, like, once I saw what they were doing, I'm like, okay, that makes sense why he sounds different. I'm like, I get it now. It's
fine.
Well, I mean, yeah, so. they're trying to hearken on the fact that they're from Brooklyn, they're from New York, so that's why the accent was like that. It wasn't, you know, full-on Italian, because they're supposed to be Italian-Americans.
Yeah, so shout out, though, that they actually did give Chris, is it Martinet or
Charles
Martinet?
Charles Martinet.
Charles. So, yeah, they gave the OG Mario actor a role in this movie, which I was, like, fucking happy about. I was like, all right, at least they gave him
props. He actually had two.
He had two.
Yeah, but so I was happy.
Yeah, I'm actually, like, I was like, okay, well, who's he going to voice because he's cast? And I was like, it better be someone awesome. I mean, and it was, so, you know.
Yeah, it was. It was good.
Charlie Day is my favorite. Oh, Bowser. Also Jack Black. Charlie Day and Jack Black.
I'm sorry. This is spoilers for people who haven't seen it by the time this episode comes out.
Dude, to see the box office numbers, everybody's seen it.
But the biggest issue that I had was no Wario. I mean, come on. What the fuck? What the hell, man? Like, just show him. They showed, you know, what? I'm not going to say anything. But Wario should have been in it.
Yeah, they'll save it for the sequel, dude. They'll save it for the sequel.
Yeah, I know they will, but I mean, like, oh, so they had, this is on topic, but whatever. So Andrew Schultz is a very funny comedian.
Yeah.
Everybody kept saying he looks like Waluigi and should play Waluigi.
God, he would be fucking awesome.
And so they had him do Waluigi lines on his podcast, and he sounded identical to Waluigi. Jesus,
bro.
It was so good. I'll send you the video.
Please
but anyway,
send that to me. I want that. Schultz would be a fucking amazing Waluigi. Holy
it was
crap.
So it was really funny, and I was like, "Damn!" I was like, "That'd be great." So anyway, Waluigi and Wario should be in the sequel.
I was gonna say too. I saw a meme that said, "Just hear me out," and it had a picture of Waluigi and Wario, but then underneath it, they had straight up fucking Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny as Waluigi and Danny DeVito as Wario, and I'm like, I'm kind of for that too, but
I mean, that would be pretty amazing.
Fucking DeAndre as Birdo.
Oh, dude. Have fucking Dennis from It's Always Sunny as Wario. I mean, as Waluigi.
Oh, my God.
And then Rickety Cricket's going to be Baby Bowser, or what?
Oh, that'd be goddamn.
Have Mac be fucking Roy, dude, just showing up.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know, the one that I saw floating around, which I thought would be interesting for Wario, was Willem Dafoe. People were saying Jesus. Like that would be
let's talk about this since you left this part out, but a meme started, or rather not a meme but a quote started from Jack Black himself, who plays Bowser in the movie, about who he wanted Wario to be in the sequel, and Flynn over here shit all over it. I don't know why, because I think he would be amazing, but he asked that Pedro Pascal would be playing Wario in the sequel. Let's go. What do you mean?
I got a thing with that too. All right.
Yeah. What?
Here's my thing. Okay. I don't see it, but that might be a good thing
because
I'm just going to say right now, if they were to cast Pedro Pascal, they're going to make like Wario save like a Yoshi egg or something. They're going to have him be the nurturing father.
No.
Like he is in The Mandalorian, no. And like he is as Joel, and he's gonna raise a Yoshi, dude. I book it right now.
He doesn't ever really get to be a villain. So why would he not want to be a villain? And Wario's he's the antithesis to Mario. I think he would do a damn good job.
Yeah, I think he had to alter his voice a lot. But also, now that I've stewed on it a little bit, if he can be like Wario, who thinks he's suave but is actually kind of just like a menace, that would work. I think that characterization would work if for Pedro's take on it, if they have him in there.
All I have to say is, wow.
I would pay money to hear fucking Pedro Pascal do wah.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm warming up a little bit more to it, but I don't know. To me, Wario's such a slimy character. I want a slimy fucking gravelly voice attached to it. But I mean, that's my... Who knows? Again, we had lack of faith in certain aspects to the casting already, and to me, they almost all nailed it. Like, the only one that didn't do good was Mr. Cranky Kong.
I know, you're tripping.
Oh, nah, I wasn't with it.
For me, like the biggest one was Seth Rogen. Like, I love Seth Rogen, but I don't know. I wanted Donkey Kong to be like kind of like bumbly and dumb. And in hearing Seth Rogen come out of his voice, I was like, whatever.
Seth Rogen.
He was a great character. Like, I liked that. Mm-hmm. I liked the way the dynamic that he played and the way they set him up. It was great. But I don't know. I just wish they would have picked somebody who could sound like, I don't know, kind of stupid.
like a beefhead type of dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And he played that like he did. He did the peck dance, and I was like, it would have been better if he was just like, you know, a meathead dummy.
Like fucking like Doug from 51st Dates.
Yep.
Sean like Astin. Wow.
Sean Astin as like a fucking what? You want me to kick his ass, Dad? What?
he had a lisp and everything. So good.
Dude, Sean Astin with that voice would be a great Bowser Jr. That would be fucking awesome. Love that.
We're gonna have to make a special episode of fan casting for Brothers too, dude.
but I mean, while we're on topic, and also as part of the thing, pretty obviously Miyamoto also said like, hey, you know, Mario, there might be something cooking. There have been rumors, so it's been a long time coming though. I don't know. I think before the Switch is out, we're gonna see one more Mario game.
Well, yeah. Well, Odyssey was what, 2017 or 18?
2017. That was the first year, dude.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're due for one.
They're due for one. Yeah, that's yep. the Mario cycle right there. So yeah, we'll probably get one of those two, and it's going to sell like fucking gangbusters. And this movie, apparently, it's going to be the new box office weekend when this episode releases, but like during the actual week, it's been doing insane weekday numbers too. Like, it's just nonstop. So, Mario's here to stay. Bring on the Nintendo Extended Universe. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I saw someone make a mock-up of fucking Mario Bros., Metroid, Zelda, I think a Donkey Kong movie, and then the last one was, it all culminates in fucking Super Smash Bros. Yeah, well, I was like, well, stupid. Jesus Christ.
Dude. That would be amazing. They all fight each other, and then Master Hand comes out, and they gotta join together. Come on. It writes itself.
All right, 10 years. I give it 10 years to build, and we'll see. Jesus. We'll see how it goes.
Oops!
Whoa!
Look at you.
Don't worry about that. That was news coming down the pipeline.
More
that was fucking Disney. That was Disney calling James around and saying, "What the fuck did you just say? What'd you say? He's crying a piece of shit."
I heard you say something about us, huh?
That's just, okay, no, I can't do it. Anyway, all right, what else we got this week?
All right, so unfortunately, people, well, good news and bad news. We are getting another Resident Evil film reboot. Yay, or boo. Cue that, okay? So let's get the good news out of the way first. It's an anthology-style Resident Evil movie, and it's going to be set... first on Resident Evil Zero, starring Rebecca Chambers and Billy Cohen? Cohan? I never played it, so...
Mm-hmm.
All right, Billy Cohen? Is that where we're going with one?
It's Billy Cohen.
Okay, all right. So that's the good news. The bad news, Paul W. Anderson is producing them.
Jesus and Christ.
No director has been attached. But according to the site Geeks Vibe Nation, if the first film is a moneymaker... then subsequent movies will be based on the stories of Resident Evil 1, Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, Resident Evil 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, probably 2. But, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be shit. You just know it.
Like, this is like, what, the third reboot, right? Because they have the OG ones, then they have the Netflix ones, and they have the Netflix movie?
Yeah, the movie, like the Welcome to Raccoon City movie was another
one. Yeah, that movie.
This is technically the first reboot because Anderson was stuck with, you know, Mila for that whole shit.
Dude, that's his wife still, no?
It's his wife, yeah.
I don't care who it is. This movie sucked.
I think he wasn't stuck with her. He was doing it for her. He's like, here.
Yeah, I was saying, that's why she was in that fucking horrible-ass Monster Hunter movie, too. God damn. Yep.
Yeah, let's just... the one that ended up being racist and that got pulled from, like, how many different markets? Oh, Lord.
It's like, oh, man. Like, I really, like, these, speaking of, like, writing itself, I mean, a Resident Evil movie done right would literally write itself. I don't understand what's so hard about making a good Resident Evil movie. Like,
It's just maybe, like, this, it's just the franchise that just can't be adapted. Stop trying to adapt it. Just leave it alone.
Yeah, you know?
Just leave it alone.
I mean, if you know any history on the first Resident Evil movie, they literally tapped in George A. Romero to write the movie and wanted him to direct. They had a good line. They could have, and it was going to be a straight up adaptation of the first game, but they didn't. They thought it was not actiony enough, and they scrapped the whole thing.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they thought that his script was not action enough. They're like, it's too cerebral. Okay. It's too, you know, it's too like the games. You want to do something a little different. And I think Capcom has lost direction since then.
And look at all the adaptations that are literally carbon copies now, and how good they are. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Resident Evil.
Well, I was gonna say, I mean, look at The Last of Us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is literally almost 90% to 95%. Carbon copy of the game.
Shot for shot, beats. Dialogue for dialogue.
Oh, like, yeah. There's dialogue pulled straight from the game, right?
Full-on scenes recreated, yeah.
Yeah, and look how, like, you know, successful that is. And I really, really hope that these fucking Hollywood executives or whoever's making these movies now will be like, huh, everyone's talking about The Last of Us. I wonder why. And then someone just slaps them upside their head and says, because they made it for gamers that actually know the fucking game and they added to it. Like, that's
a good point. Yes. No, they actually tailored the whole story to the audience's expectations. That's just do that. There's a certain kind of people that enjoy Mario. It has to be very simple, very general, and, you know, and fun. That's the game's tone. That should be the tone of the movie. So well, any game adaptation should have that tone of the game. That's how it would work.
Yeah, like you just said, right? Mario's success. Sonic movies, I thought they were fucking great.
Yeah,
I
didn't really
have anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't have anything wrong with them, really. I mean, if you go in like expecting a fucking Hollywood Oscar, you know, Academy Award winner, then yeah, get the fuck out. You're going to a Sonic movie. But like as a video gamer, those were fucking fun. They were amazing. Like I loved them, both of them.
And so I mean, that's like that's the same thing with the Mario movie right now. It's such like a big gaming fan service entry. I mean, and obviously families are loving it too. But I mean, like for all of us that grew up playing Mario games, like there's so many callbacks and so many little like things they did that like that's why people love it. They're just like, all right, well, we're gonna make a video game movie, but like for video game fans.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And I think like the underlying, and we talked about this last episode too with the Gears of War, you know, Netflix series. I think the underlying issue with all of this is the fact that Nintendo made, you know, Nintendo partnered with Illumination for Mario, right? So, of course, they're going to have a big say in how their property is presented.
You know? Miyamoto's name was right up top in those credits.
Exactly, right? So he is heavily involved. The Last of Us, Neil Druckmann, all over it, right? I mean, he directed episodes. He was in there. He was, he was consulted. Sonic? I'm not really sure if like who was involved with Sonic or if they just got lucky. Maybe the director. I believe actually the director and the guy who played Sonic, who voice acted Sonic, were huge fans of the game. So it's like
Well, that and like Sonic's like, Sega's been pretty directional with Sonic anyway, so maybe they didn't need Sega's input on that one.
But I mean, like the point is, like if you get people who actually care about a property, they're going to make it great. Like, yeah. I don't really know, maybe Uncharted is the, you know, outlier here, but it's like, ever since these directors and these actors and direct, you know, producers who are fans of the game have been getting involved, the quality has been going up and up and up. So, I really hope that if they do get a director for this Resident Evil movie, it's not Paul W. Anderson again, and it's someone who actually loves the games and can, like, really be like, look, all these other ones fucking suck. Let's stop rebooting them and do it right. And people will pay money to see like an authentic Resident Evil.
An authentic, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can hear the Halo hurt in your voice when you say.
Oh, dude, don't
even start on Halo, but I can just hear the sorrow so poorly. Oh, Lord.
Anyway, yeah, we're not gonna talk about that.
No. But we do. No, we are gonna talk about Halo right now in another negative kind of way, James.
I'm sorry, what? Oh,
next
one. Yeah, I got it. I'm just kidding. So today,
why are the pancakes coming in the mail?
Today in Who Gives a Shit Anymore news, Joseph Staten, head of creative on Halo Infinite and cinematic director on the first three Halo games, is leaving Microsoft after 9 years at the company. This follows a year of turmoil as Microsoft has already laid off 9,000 employees, including many from 343 Industries. And there you go. I mean, you know, this is the start of the downfall.
Honestly, yeah.
Fine. I don't know if you stuck with it, but I played Infinite. You know, I mean, I went in hyped. I liked it. I liked what they could have done with it, but it totally missed the mark. Like, if you call anything, let alone a Halo game, Halo Infinite, it should be the end-all, be-all game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they don't, there's no Battle Royale, like, mode, which is what people were like, dude, a Halo Battle Royale? Like, are you kidding me? Like, that already writes itself from the LAN days, right? Where we used to make our own type of game modes, right? Shoddy snipers, swords and fucking hammers, right? I mean, that's literally what people wanted. And they were like, nah, we're good. We'll just give you this stuff. And, you know, it like, totally dropped the ball. It kind of did the Battlefront redemption, where they were like, gonna make it good. And then, like you just mentioned, right? Microsoft laid off a whole bunch of employees. So now I think it's back to shit. I haven't played it in about two months now, but I'm very, very
sad
about all that.
This is Halo. This is their bread and butter. You would think after all these years, after all these games, they would be able to get multiplayer right, and they fucked that up. Like, I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand how after so many years, they still can't even release multiplayer in the way that it's supposed to be released. Like, this is your game to rival Sony. This is your game to rival Call of Duty. Like, Halo is Xbox's baby, and they still found a way to fuck it up. And this is on them. Like, they just, I mean, I understand that now it's even worse because they laid off all these employees, but, like, you're losing the console war. You know, you're losing everything else. It's like, dude, well, okay, well, if that's the case, like, pour your heart and everything into Halo then, and make that make that the game that it always was and how it sold consoles. Like, I got an Xbox because of Halo back in the day. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I got an Xbox 360 because of Halo. You know what I mean? Like, it should be that game.
Yeah, 2007, baby. Different times.
So, so I mean, Halo Infinite should have been the console seller for the Xbox Series S. An X, whatever the hell it's called. I don't even care anymore. But I'm just saying, like, they should. This should have been the game. And for, like, so many of, like, you, Alex, and all the other people that still have an Xbox and still, you know, everybody was like, eh. Like, nobody cared. Nobody cared about Halo Infinite coming out. Like, well, it just didn't.
They squandered the launch. They squandered the launch horribly. I mean, that's the big issue, really.
And also, too, to little, like, you know, a little tidbit is, you know, you release a game called the Master Chief Collection, right? Literally. All the fucking Halos, all the old OG Halos, and you literally remaster the best Halo ever that everyone loved, Halo 2, and at launch, they fucked it up, right? It was
horrible. They did. It was so bad.
Horrible, right? Yeah. So they eventually fixed it, which is good, but it's just the fact that you had this, you had like a money maker right there, releasing all three, or no, I think it was four at the time, all four Halo games on the Xbox One as a system seller. Like, that's literally why I got an Xbox One, is because, like, I'm like, dude, like, that's just...
Yeah. I want to play it again, like, as smooth as possible.
Exactly, right? Mm-hmm. But then here comes Infinite and Halo 5, and it's like, oh, man, like, they just dropped the ball so bad. And like James was saying, like, if you have a property as big as Halo, we wouldn't have online gaming without Halo, like, at the end of the day.
No,
Halo
2004. Yeah, that's
what it changed Halo the game. 2, Halo 2 was what literally made console online gaming the staple that it is today. Before that, there was no online games on consoles that were, like, system sellers like that. Mm-hmm. And then everyone got an Xbox, OG Xbox. Everyone got that fucking, what was it called? The Xbox Live Gold Pack that came with that fucking headset. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. It came with that whack ass currency, like 10 bucks, is 800 points.
You buy it for like 50 bucks. It came with the year of Xbox Live, and it came with a fucking headset that wrapped around your head. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was after school. Fucking, that's where you went. That's what everyone did, is play online with Halo. And now here we are in 2023. And Halo is literally nowhere to be seen in the online gaming community. I mean, Call of Duty dominates.
It's not part of the discussion. It's unfortunate. Yeah. And also, I have to bring up another point here with the demise of Halo. It also had memorable-ass campaigns. Those first three campaigns, I'm replaying the ODST campaign with someone right now. Because we were feeling very nostalgic. And we just wanted to play it with each other online. And it's fucking brilliant. Like, there's so many memorable things. I can't tell you in the past four Halo games, past three Halo games, like, any portion of the campaign where I'm like, holy fuck, this is going down right now. Like,
And on top of that, too, like you said, right, they launched Halo Infinite. Like, do you know how dumb it is? And this is the thing. Halo 5 launched with no split screen, no offline multiplayer support, really, of any kind, right? How fucking dumb do you have to be to release two Halo games back to back with no offline split screen support, when literally that is the fucking staple of Halo?
Yeah.
How many, like, at your house, dude? Fwen, you're the ones who made me buy an Xbox because you said, here, four player offline. Let's play it. Yeah, exactly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what made Halo Halo. And the fact that they're going to be like, yeah, we're not going to put that in these last two, but yeah, people will still buy it. No, they won't.
Well, on that note, their excuse was, well, if we look at the percentages, not everybody actually uses, but I'm like, okay, fucking cool.
Bullshit,
but,
dude.
But even if that's the case, having that whole pitch out, something that's so fundamental to Halo, it ruins the narrative. Suddenly, you've destroyed half your hype for something that, not a lot of people are going to use in the grand scheme of it, but your most hardcore supporters are. And they're the ones telling people about your fucking game. And you just pissed them off.
I forgot what there was some Microsoft executive that after the horrible reception of Halo 5, mm-hmm. they literally said, "Don't worry, the next Halo is going to come with LAN support. It's going to come with offline support. Oh, yeah, it's going to come with, you know, they fucking went on and on, right?" And dude, you should have seen the Reddit when Infinite launched, because they're like, you said this 2 years ago. Where is it?
Your goddamn fiber. Yeah, no.
It's like these. I don't understand. Like, these executives think that we as a consumer are just so stupid that we don't remember what they say in this day and age. Like, really? Like, come on, dude.
I told it's Microsoft, dude. Same thing with Windows. Same thing. They'll do one thing and the next time doesn't work like at all how you were supposed to. Man. Yeah,
you know. Not to get too off topic here, but speaking of Microsoft too, did you see that thing that they're fucking up on right now with that Redfall launch?
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that. I was gonna
cover it, but I don't think that game is hype enough to like resort to a whole segment. But just the fact that they're launching one of their big exclusives from who's the developer?
Arkane is the one.
Is it Arkane? Okay, yeah. So the people who did Dishonored. Deathloop. That was the one that you loved.
Deathloop is
an amazing game. I love that right? game.
So Arkane is going to make an exclusive, I believe it's exclusive, Xbox game called Redfall, right? It was a vampire hunting type of shit.
I remember seeing the big reveal at E3 and I was like, all right.
Yeah. So good old cinematic trailer again, huh?
Yeah right? Mm-hmm. So now they recently said that, you know what, guys? When it launches... Yeah, we're not launching with the performance mode. We're just going to launch at 30 FPS.
Yep, I saw that too.
So good luck. And everyone's like, a fucking first-person shooter in 2023 isn't going to have a performance mode? Like, there are people actually saying, like, you know what? I'm not buying this until you drop that 60 FPS.
Yeah, because like, for an FPS, that's a game changer. That's a big difference maker right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know what the fuck is going on with Microsoft. They were doing so well. They were catching up, and then they just shit the bed. Yeah. Honestly, I think they're shitting the bed right now.
I think they're trying to rush out too much software to keep people interested in Game Pass. That's it. They want a Game Pass banger every, like, 2 months, but they're not giving their developers time to make sure it's a banger.
Yeah, so good.
The Game Pass was literally the only reason why I almost considered buying an Xbox.
Oh, Game Pass is fantastic.
Right. And I was like,
you could max it out after a year and a half.
You're right. So, I mean, you know, whatever. You know.
But it's like everyone's saying too, they're like, damn, if they're launching Redfall at 30 FPS, hope everyone's ready for that fucking 30 FPS Starfield. Which is their big system seller, right? So, yeah.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see how this fall goes.
You mean No Man's Sky 2.0?
Sheesh. There it goes.
No Man's Skyrim. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, now, because I'm running too hot on Microsoft, so much more positive news.
Yeah, let's end on a positive note here, friend. Let's end on a positive note.
Nintendo released the final Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom trailer. And they did that bitch in a surprise... full story trailer that just dropped this week out of nowhere on the latest Legend of Zelda franchise installment. This trailer shows brand new areas, enemies, a larger look at the broader story, and the return of fucking Ganondorf, which Twitter is thirsting after right now. Mm-hmm. This is the first time Link's mortal enemy has actually been featured in a mainline Zelda entry in 17 years. Yeah.
Jesus, his last one was Ocarina?
Twilight Princess.
No, Twilight Princess.
Oh, Twilight, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Man, that was 17 years ago? Jesus Christ.
I know, dude. That one hurt when I read that online. Fuck. But, yeah, just to start discussion on this one, this trailer is one of the best gaming trailers I've fucking seen. Like, this shit got me hyped. That music, all the little showing different parts of Hyrule now. It seems like there's a underground area and a sky area, from what I can tell. Real dungeons, and of course, the return of Ganondorf in a very hype kind of moment. Like that
fool looks like a straight fucking Heihachi motherfucker, dude.
He does.
Looks like all fucking, like he's about to just drop some fucking suplexes on me and shit.
Dude, the fucking memes mm-hmm. are hilarious mm-hmm. with Ganondorf. I mean, this, I'm glad I got the voucher. I'm day one. I don't know what's going to happen. I might take the day off. Who the fuck knows?
I'm happy that this trailer looked better than that fucking gameplay trailer. Like I said, the fact that I think it's just the Japanese style of when they do those gameplay trailers. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't hype me up because they're like, they treat you like you're fucking 10 years old.
They do treat you like a baby, yeah.
Oh, they're like, oh, there's a fucking enemy. What should I do? But this trailer was pure hype. I liked it. I liked what I saw. The whole, like you mentioned in the text to when like the rewind feature looked crazy to do in combat.
They're gonna do some stupid shit, dude. These fucking Zelda YouTubers are gonna destroy this whole. They're gonna break the fucking game. The mechs they're gonna make. You just guarantee it. They're gonna do some Optimus Prime shit with all these fucking Hyrule runes and everything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Only 4 weeks away? 3 weeks?
About a month. Yeah.
Ooh. Month. I booted up Breath of the Wild for the first time in a long time, and I don't know if you guys know this, but I've never beaten it. I've been sitting at Ganon forever.
Oh, shit.
But I've never actually beaten it. Like, I've been sitting on my save file for this long, and I was like, I'm just going to wait. Like, there's so much to do in the game that I just focused on all of that, and I've never actually, like, beaten it. Mm-hmm. So I loaded it up, and I was like, what I did was I bought the DLC forever ago as well. And I was like, okay, well, let me try to go back in and beat the Master Trials for the Master Sword, which are unbelievably hard. I don't know if anybody here has tried them.
Nope, that's only you, bud.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, here's my thing. I was excited. I was like, cool, let me jump back in here. I'm going to beat it now. I'm like, okay, all I have to do is go freaking fight Ganon or whatever version of Ganon it is. Anyway, and the game started shaking already, and I was like, good Lord, how are they going to make this next one work? Like, I was running through the Kokoro Forest or whatever to get to the Master Sword area to do the trials.
Oh, yeah.
And the frame rate dropped so hard, I was like, oh, good Lord, everybody's freaking Nintendo Switches are about to blow up.
Well, it was also optimized for the Wii U. So that's, I think, the main reason why they were pushing the Wii U hardware too much, where the Switch is, I think, a little more capable, which is good.
We'll see.
I've been revisiting Breath of the Wild on and off also, because the DLC, I paid for the fucking DLC, I might as well play it. I got all the fucking heart, the shrines, the hearts, everything. Mm-hmm. So now, but with this save file, I haven't beat Ghidorf yet, but I keep on my way to there running into those little Korok seeds and all this other shit, so I'm like, fuck, I'm still having fun. I still don't want to beat them, but I know the game's coming up, so, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, I'm interested to see how much they change Hyrule. Like, they give you little hints in the trailer, but it seems like they're really expanding on a lot of, like, major areas. So, I don't know. I'm a Breath of the Wild stan, you know, it's my favorite game of all time. I just can't wait. I just can't wait. So, oof. Well, any other thoughts on Tears of the Kingdom?
Give it to me. That's my thought right there, bud. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, that, like, yeah, like you said, that, like, trailer was just pure hype. I'm for it now. I mean, I'm all, let's check it out. I don't know if it's still $70 worth, but we'll check it out, dude.
We'll find out soon. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, I mean, that's the news. It's time to...
Just give me all of the Zelda games and I will play them.
Yeah. We're only missing a couple on the eShop or on the Switch now, right? Pretty much all of them are available except Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, which, you know, they're probably going to do that at some point.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually.
I would love to play Twilight Princess again.
Dude, the HD version was really good. Yeah. It was a really, really solid.
I think I bought that. I bought that for $50 on the Wii U like 6 months ago before they like officially closed it down, and I never got to play it without the stupid motion controls, but... Like I said, Twilight Princess, my memory is coming home from work and seeing James just like sprawled out on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
At the apartment, just waving the Wiimote, be like, you play this yet? And I'm like, no. And he's like, you should.
Yep. He bought it and I just hijacked it. I was like, I'm playing the hell out of this. And I played it and I beat it and it was great.
Then, yeah, he beat it before me, and then finally, like a month or two later, I got around to beat him. I'm like, fuck, James is right. Fuck.
it's a great game.
It's like Idris Elba, like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like playing it one day. I start coughing. Oh shit, James is right.
Just so you know, Twilight Princess HD right now is at least $85.
Jeez. Yeah, well, I bought it digitally on the Wii U, so fuck all there these secondhand people. But yeah, James was doing the full Randy Marsh, dude, legs all fucking spread out on the couch in his underwear, just waving the Wiimote in front of him, just saying, yeah, you should play this.
Stan?
Stan!
Oh, Jesus. All right, well, I mean, that's the news right there. Those are the official news stories, however. We got ourselves some leaks.
This is gonna be some juicy rumors right here, man. All right, ready? Okay, so the first one, the big one actually, that everyone's been talking about.
Oh yeah,
I would say the second one's bigger, but you know, whatever.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, but okay. So the first one, though. I'm kidding, this is big. Sony the rumor is Sony is returning to the world of handheld gaming. Question mark. Omron Burgundy. Question mark. Okay. So, according to Insider Gaming, Sony is set to return to the world of handheld gaming with a new device. It will be codenamed Q-Lite, but it will require a PlayStation 5 to use, as it will utilize the remote play feature. And it will also be an internet-required handheld, which is that lost my hype that. So much.
I don't know about that.
So, some specs that are rumored is that it will sport adaptive streaming, an 8-inch LCD touchscreen, 1080p, 60 frames per second capabilities, and also use the adaptive triggers like the PlayStation 5 DualSense controllers.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Finally, it is rumored to launch before the PlayStation 5 Pro, which itself was rumored to release next year in winter of 2024. So, rumors, actually, the most updated rumors are that it will be releasing later this year.
That's what I heard, too. It will be later
this year. You hear that? Microsoft, their handheld will give us 60 FPS. Anyway.
Oh, no rest so, on that one.
I'm not the handheld guy. I'm not the portable guy. You know, I'm not. But, I mean, it's cool, like, depending on how much it is, which I know it's probably going to be, like, $300. That's cool. If it's, like, a companion to the PS5, that's, I'm sure. Why not?
That was my reaction, too, is, like, my big if is going to be how much is it going to cost.
Right.
If it's going to be over 200, even maybe, like, even 200's pushing it really, really, really.
For remote play. Nah. Yeah. That's the only reason. So, if they had native hardware or native games on there, different story completely.
And also, too, I saw there was a YouTuber guy that I follow that was talking about, like, the remote play is fine if that's an option. If you're making your entire handheld revolve around remote play, this is going to be a big flop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, give us the option to at least download something. Whether that be the old school PlayStation Plus game, something should be able to use offline. If you're gonna make it to where you need to be online, you need to be near your PlayStation 5, I can tell you right now, I'm a huge, like, I love my Steam Deck, I love my Switch, all that shit. I wouldn't get something like this if that's all it's gonna be used for. Like, you can only use it in your house on remote play. Like, if that's the...
You don't want a PS5 U? PS5 U, dude.
Well, I was gonna say, if that's the selling point, quote unquote, then I'll just play it on my fucking TV. What am I going to use $200 to just play it on a small handheld? Like, no. Well, I don't care how cool it is, but...
Right? Okay, so that's the thing, too. Like, I understand that it's going to save you bandwidth because it's going to basically be streaming directly to your handheld system from the console itself, but all that's going to do is, like, you're still going to have the PS5 on. It still needs to be connected to verify everything. Yep. And you're just going to be playing on your couch instead, looking at a smaller screen while something's on the background, which is fine. Yeah. That's a good way to do it, but I like taking my Switch places. Like, it's just nice to have. Or, you know, not relying, because my internet can be dumb sometimes. So exactly. Yeah. I don't know. Game streaming's not there yet. It's just not there yet. Microsoft has money bags, and the Xbox Game Pass streaming is pretty fantastic, but, you know, it's very resource intensive. And not always fun. I can't imagine with having less resources to do it, it's going to be any better. So, I don't know. Be cheap. As long as it's cheap, I'm good with that. Then I'll be fine. Then to me, it's augmenting the PS5 experience, which is totally fine.
Yeah, $200 max.
Max.
And as a companion to the PS5, sure. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Well, people were even saying, too, like, it would be cool if they added experiences to existing PlayStation 5 games, whether that be a fucking, like, a second screen type of thing, right?
What if you could pull your map up, or, you know, you could pull, you know, something like that. That would be pretty cool.
Or it could be something like, let's say you're playing God of War and your map or your items are, like, at your fingertips on the on the controller. But you're still playing on your TV or something, right? But, like you mentioned, too, when the Wii U capability,
That's exactly what you did.
Yeah, you can do that on the Wii U, and then you can switch over to playing it handheld while someone else takes over the TV. Like, for that, I understand that. But it would be even better if they gave you, like, options to enhance it to be like, hey, you know what? You want to download these old PlayStation Classic games, like for the people that have the premium or the essential PlayStation Plus subscriptions. Like, hey, you want to download this old PS1 game and play it on there? Go ahead. That's fine, you know? So, like, if they have that little caveat, I think it'll be successful. If they don't, it's going to be a paperweight. And I don't think I wouldn't buy it personally if it's just going to be only for remote play.
It's just for enthusiasts at that point, like, which is fine. But then it's not going to be game-breaking. It's not going to be industry-changing at all. It's just not going to be a competitor, unfortunately. But, I mean, again, if it's cheap, then I will consider it just an accessory. And that would be a good way to do it. That's fine. Right. But you just can't be expensive. Like, if it's $200, now that we talk about it more, $200 might be pushing it. It really would. Give me $150 for all these features because haptic feedback, and it's going to be premium. It's probably going to have a great screen. It's going to have all these things that are nice, but they're not any nicer than, like, a good tablet. So be tablet priced with the controller augmentations, and then you're okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But we do have another very, very good rumor that I'm excited about, James.
Real quick, I want to just throw out a piece of news that I just stumbled upon. Real quick before this great rumor. So it has been announced that Mr. Matthew Mercer, Critical Role and voice actor, is the voice of Ganondorf in Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. OG Leon?
Oh, yep. Anyway, I just saw that and wanted to say that because
breaking,
that's awesome.
Breaking news right now.
Breaking news. Boom. Okay. So I don't want to call myself a prophet. I
don't want to. Oh, my God.
I don't want to say that I have the same eyes of the future like The Simpsons do, but we might have called this. Thousand Year Door is rumored to be getting a remaster for the Nintendo Switch. You heard it here. We talked about it. I begged for it. And apparently now it's happening. An investigative journalist has reportedly learned that Nintendo has been working on a Paper Mario Thousand Year Door remaster for the Switch. This comes from FamiBoard forums and has been confirmed by a number of Nintendo insiders who wish to remain anonymous. Let's fucking go. I love this game. I've been talking about this game for so long.
For like two decades. For like 20 years you've been talking about this game.
Really? Like, it is such a good game. Like, the Paper Mario series is just one of my all-time favorites. Like, as far as Mario is concerned, like, Paper Mario for me is like the tip-top. And Thousand Year Door is just a great fucking game. And, like, for them to be, I don't know how they're going to, if they're going to remaster it and make it how the new one is for the Nintendo Switch, but, like, obviously Thousand Year Door story, I'm all for it. Like, I cannot wait. I hope this is true. It sounds like it's pretty true, but this is great news, or a great rumor, rather.
Yeah, I think there's been some updates, too, that I didn't put on here, but it has been confirmed with the number of people who usually leak this kind of stuff, but they also leaked that you're most likely, if it's true, and all things go to plan, we're going to see it this year. Whew, like, it's going to be soon. Oh,
man, there's too much, but I will buy the ever-living shit out of this game.
No, absolutely. I think it'd be a great summer release. Like, yes. I think if you before the fall push, give us this fucking remaster, I'm down. Because, so the rumor is it's not the only GameCube remaster. Like, there's going to be a couple other GameCube remasters that might trinkle throughout the rest of the Switch's life cycle, because the Switch is almost done. Like, it's going to be done relatively soon. We know that. But I think one of the other names they leaked out, possibly, was F-Zero GX as well.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
F-Zero GX?
I mean, that's no Thousand Year Door, but that's cool.
No, it is the best F-Zero game, though. That shit is hot. But no, Thousand Year Door, dude, it's been so gate-locked by just being on one platform, being priced to hell. Let everybody experience it.
Really, though.
Yeah, I would say, how are you going to have... Well, I guess Nintendo hasn't really, like, quote-unquote, virtual consoled the GameCube, which is what they should do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you got Paper Mario, so why the fuck don't we have the sequel? like, come on.
No, dude, for real, like that, I'm enjoying playing that right now, but I'm like, yeah, I would love to play Thousand Year Door again, but yeah, like Fuen said, it's just locked behind so much bullshit.
It is, and you know, it still looks good though, too. Like, giving it the HD with barely touch the graphics, really just HD it up. It's going to look fucking amazing.
You want to know why it's locked behind all that bullshit? Because
Nintendo's, Nintendo's up their ass. Yeah.
Such their own ass.
Yeah, we get it.
We get it.
He said yes. Like, We know. Well, I mean, again, we'll see. We'll keep our eyes on this one. And if it ends up being true, it's going to be a fat old I told you so again from the team here at NPC. So, yep. We earned it. And then one more leak here. Mortal Kombat 12 announcement. Is that coming? Is it on the way? Is it? Well, a few months ago during an investor's call, Warner Brothers pretty much all but confirmed MK12 was in development. But it's been pretty quiet since then. Until now, because professional fighting game player Sonic Fox has tweeted that he anticipates Mortal Kombat 12 announcement this week. Does he have insider info? Has he play tested it? Which they do with a lot of these pros.
Of course. They send the game to them like months before because they have to be good so that they can start the tournaments like immediately.
Well, they want people to break the game. They're like, break it for us so we know where to plug the leaks, essentially.
I would also like to say by the time this recording comes out that guy's announcement should have been the week prior. Like, the week that we're recording this is the week something was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. So let's leave that up for interpretation. But, I mean, yeah, why not? I would like to see it. I think this is going to be the one that's going to combine the movies and the games together, which would be cool.
Okay. Yeah, give it to us. That's fine.
I saw another pro fighter today, actually, as we're recording this, say that, quote-unquote, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be announced this week. But hey, if it does, retweet and like my tweet, and I'll give everyone $1,000 who does or something. So, I don't know if it's going to actually come out or be announced before this episode drops. But I feel like if it isn't this week, I think it's going to be soon.
I think so too. Yeah, they're going to have to build a hype machine pretty soon.
I don't think this is fair to say, not that they're ever really in direct competition with Street Fighter, but Street Fighter is getting a lot of press right now because it looks awesome. I'm not really a fighting game guy, but Street Fighter V looks awesome. So, not
according to Leo, dude. he sent me a fucking message to say, thanks, I hate it, because he saw that fucking, what's his name? Lil John, who the fuck is it? Someone's hosting, some rapper is hosting a Street Fighter 6 like competition like soon.
Fuck. Okay,
maybe it is Lil John, but yeah, he's like, oh, thanks, I hate it. And I was like, oh, Leo hates cringe?
But I mean, regardless, like, it looks cool. I like the whole like open world element and like whatever, like everything they're doing, it just looks cool. So,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, MK and Street Fighter generally, like...
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Lil Wayne, guys. Sorry, it's Lil Wayne.
Lil song. Yeah.
Little, I don't care. I'm just saying, like, they usually, like, release a game within a year of each other, typically. So,
yeah, no.
I don't know. We'll see, you know.
Capcom's been so good about developing hype cycles, though. I think Warner Brothers has taken notes, and they're like, fuck. Let's just put it out there, you know, with our little people and see what people say, and then they'll probably adjust the campaign from there.
Well, I mean, as long as they're not going to delay it four times at Rock City, they'll be fine.
Jesus, it's Warner Brothers. We don't know.
I was going to say, I believe that investor call was in January or maybe February of this year. Mm. So now we're about 2 months later. And like I said, during that investor call, they showed the logo and said, hey, there's going to be a Mortal Kombat 12 coming out soon. You know, because the people who actually invest in it want to know what the fuck a company's doing.
Yeah.
So, that got leaked about 2-3 months ago. So, it's coming. It's just, I don't know.
It's a matter of when, not if. Which is fine. Yep. You know, again, yep. Mortal Kombat's always a fun series anyways. It doesn't have, I don't think, the meta fighters behind it like Street Fighter does. But, you know, Mortal Kombat's always good as an alternative. So, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Right. I'm with it.
So, with that, guys, news done. Rumors done. Now we're just going to talk about what we're playing on our end. So, what are you guys playing?
You go first, dude.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, go for it, James. No. Oh, I'll okay. go for it.
Oh, oh.
Go for it, James. You.
Oh, my God. All right. So, I finally... The biggest one is I'm playing Resident Evil 8 in third-person mode. I finally got through some stuff on my backlog, which is still like 5 miles long. But
it's so long.
That's what it was. I played we talked about Resident Evil 4 in the last episode. I beat that. It was great. I had a great time. And I just got back into Resident Evil mode, so I hadn't purchased the DLC for Resident Evil 8 until just last week. I beat the DLC story, which is very short, but it was great. It was caught me in the feels. I was like, oh, God.
Mm. And you got scared too, didn't you?
Yeah, I got scared. I got scared because the DLC takes me back to a part that I didn't want to go back to, and I literally started hyperventilating like I did last time. But yeah, I've been playing Resident Evil 8 in third person, and honestly, not for me. Not that it's not great, but it just, for me, because what makes Resident Evil 7 and 8 so good is that it's in first person. So you're like literally in the face of everything that's happening, mm-hmm. and third person, you kind of see it coming, so it's not as bad. But I will admit that going back to the dollhouse part in Resident Evil 8, third person, still freaked me the fuck out, and I don't want to do that ever again. This is going to be the last time, hopefully.
You would have to pay me to play that fucking dollhouse
yep.
in VR.
Yep.
Let alone third person.
It was still bad. Like, I, like, literally, my body got hot, and I was like, this is not okay. Like, I literally had PTSD from playing it the first time.
I can't imagine the VR. Fuck no.
Dude, I played the VR demo for Resident Evil 7 when I was with Jim at the GameStop convention, and that was enough. I was like, I'm not playing this in VR. there's no way. But yeah, so I'm playing that. I'm almost at the end. I'm at the final boss. Well, not the final boss, the second to the last boss mm-hmm. in it. And then I also just randomly booted up the GameCube, no, sorry, Game Boy Advance on the Switch, and I'm playing Metroid Fusion for the first time.
Oh, nice.
And I'm also playing Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga, which is great because I've never played that either. I only played the remake for 3DS. I've never played the original, so yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Superstar Saga's good. Fusion's fucking fantastic. And yeah.
Yeah, it's good so far. I've never played it, and it's good.
Oh, man. I mean, yeah, as a Paper Mario fan, it's definitely, I think, within the same kind of vein. It's just that they have such good stories. Each of the Mario RPGs. Yeah, I love them. For me, I beat Resident Evil 4, and I was like, I want to see what costumes I have. I'll just play the village part. And it was so fun with, like, all my new weapons and all that shit. I was like, well, let's just see what's happening after that. And I'm already fucking halfway through the goddamn game again on a second play.
did you beat Mercenaries yet?
I haven't played Mercenaries. No.
So that kind of sucks because if you beat Mercenaries, and I think if you get an S on the three levels that you're given, you get the hand cannon.
Fuck, I'll just go back and do that again. I'll do Mercenaries. Like, this game is so goddamn good. Yeah. You just can't put it down once you start playing. I was playing it before we were recording, and I was like, oh shit, I should put my mic together because I'm already gripped in this fucking game. And then also, life has been so goddamn stressful, I needed like an easy, just whatever, don't give a fuck game. Pokemon Yellow, man, this shit's been bringing me back. I don't know what it is about that old sound, that old 8-bit look, and all those weird glitches. I've been seeing the missing no a lot. I brought myself back just to give me some little refresher. Pokemon Yellow is a fucking phenomenal game. Gen 1's really hard to beat in a lot of ways. Goddamn, do I hope for the GBA they release Fire Red and Leaf Green, because I will.
Yeah, we'll
I will
see, pop dude. Into Nintendo
that. Is Pokemon on the GBA Switch?
No, it's not.
Not yet. Actually, I don't even think we mentioned it, but Pokemon Stadium just dropped on the game on the Nintendo 64.
It did.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pokemon Stadium. Old school Pokemon Stadium for us Pokemon
players. Wow. look, I'm not the Pokemon guy here, but like, I loved Pokemon Stadium. Like, I almost booted up Pokemon Snap because I was like, this shit was fun.
Dude. Stadium's right there on the N64 online right now. So you can play the mini games. You can do the whole little campaign thing. So yeah, it's up. I consider doing it as well, actually, but yeah, it's been busy. But yeah,
dude, I haven't got to test it either.
Dude, I'm going to beat the Elite Four in Yellow, and then I'm starting up fucking Crystal after that. Because it just feels nice to play those. They're comfort food, dude. They're just comfort food. how about you, Critter? What you been playing?
I'm still trying to get through Resident Evil 4 just because I get it where I was like, wanted to play it and play it. And like you guys said, right, where I'm playing it and then you don't want to put it down. But you know, sometimes you got to sleep and go to work and all that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, an adult.
Easter was, yeah, I was going to say Easter, stupid, dude. Easter was this past weekend and all that. So I'm still working my way through it. I've loved what I've seen so far. I love the little additions they've done to it. And then this past week, I jumped back on the good old Fortnite with the kids because they're actually doing an Attack on Titan collaboration.
What?
And the dude, you get ODM gear, so you can literally fly around with the two swords and the ODM gear, and like it's cool. It's
apparently my dog is also excited about.
Yeah,
that I was gonna say if it feels like a straight up Attack on Titan game. I haven't played them, but you know, just like flying around, the ODM gear is so cool and lit that like you can just literally like latch onto someone and just like fucking spear right into them and slice them up.
But hold on, are there actual Titans in the game?
Okay, so there's no Titans, but
pass.
Wait, check this out. Okay, they made it. This is what brought me back is the fact that they dropped an emote pack for like 500 points, which is, you know, less than I think $5. They have the Titan emotes. You know how the Titans run all different? Like, where one looks like he's, like, wagging his arms and one run, like, if you guys have time, just look it up on Twitter or YouTube. Just type in Fortnite Titan emote and take all my money. Like, just, dude, it's fucking comedy. They literally have the fucking funny-ass Titan running emotes for like character. So I'm over there, I have the Doomslayer character and he's doing the Titan run where he looks all wimpy.
He's flailing around and shit. Oh that's great. Dude,
it's fucking good. Maybe I'll send you guys a video later when I play with the kids tomorrow or something. But yeah, I've been messing around with that. I'm not doing the whole battle pass for this season of Fortnite because the skins or whatever, but I had to jump on the Attack on Titan collaboration just because they added that shit. Like they got Thunder Spears, they got the ODM gear. They put in Levi and Mikasa and Eren and all that, so it's fun. I mean, I like playing it with the kids here and there.
Yeah, it's still Fortnite. It just is one of those, like, it's just kind of like Smash Brothers, man. It's just everybody's here. They're gonna
It's, and like I said, the no build mode is what I only play because I don't like building shit. So once they added that, like zero build is way more like, it's more old school type of just drop in. It's a good battle royale, is basically what it is.
I think it's good for the older crowd, too, and then you get the younger kids who like building and Minecraft. They grew up on Minecraft, all that shit. Like, that's up for them. So it's nice that they segment it for people.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid watching Nate play on his PC that he's just, all I hear is clack, 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 and he's just over there building a fucking house on people.
Fast-ass mouse clicks? Yeah.
Yep.
My nephew do that shit, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so for me, I'm going to put my win in my fails in one thing because we're running a little long here. But to me, I'm happy for the Cowabunga collection sold 1 million copies. I haven't gotten it yet, but just the fact that we've seen so much success with Ninja Turtles games, my win is whoever's working on and bringing back the Ninja Turtles stuff in gaming form. Shredder's Revenge was good. The Last Ronin announcement was recent, and that sounds fucking phenomenal. But even just giving us the old ones, like, we have not had good Ninja Turtles games for like 2 decades. And now it seems like they're having a revive. So, you know what? The team behind the Ninja Turtles, in spite of me not liking the Nickelodeon reboot, that I think it looks fucking dumb, I appreciate on the gaming front, they're putting a lot of effort into it. So that's my win. And my fail, pretty obvious. We talked about it a lot up top. Critics reviewing Mario Movie. You guys are dumb. Sorry.
You guys are dumb.
You missed the fucking boat. I have not known one person to hate on this movie. It's just fun. I get it, you guys. Like, a little snotty. To me, it shows just how snotty critics can be at times. Very, very, very bad example. Not a good face to wear. So yeah, critics are my fail this month, and my win is just the good old gaming enthusiast behind the Ninja Turtles revives. So that's mine.
I don't have a gaming win. No, I'm kidding. My gaming win of the month, even though it's not come out yet, is going to be Jedi Survivor.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I mean, look, it just looks incredible. It looks like it's just taking what it was so good at and just amplifying it. It comes out, by the time this episode comes out, it will be
it's
out.
It's going to be like a week later.
A week later. Yep. So that's what I'm going to be playing. I can't wait to play it. I love the first one. I played the first one twice already, which I normally don't do. But yeah, that's going to be my gaming win of the month, even though it's not out, because you know what? That's how I roll. My gaming fail, we already talked about it. It's the Justice League, kill the Justice League delay. That sucks. I hope it's going to turn into a win next year in that they are going to correct the mistakes they made. But if not, whatever, dude.
Mm-hmm. If not, whatever. I think that's my mentality on it also. If not, whatever.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be one where I'm just going to be like, yeah, I'll probably wait till it's on sale. I'm not paying full price for that. So mine gaming win is, of course, a Super Mario Brothers movie. I took my kids to see it last week. We went on like a Saturday morning and I loved it. I got all the little references. I thought it was great. I didn't really have any complaints about it. It was, you know, they loved it. They thought it was funny and all that. So, and like I said, there was a lot of people laughing in the movie theater. I love Jack Black as Bowser.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Fucking,
yep. That Peaches. He was
gone. Yeah, I would say Peaches, you know, just give it to me. Give him the Grammy already or whatever award it's up for.
He can get an Academy Award.
He can get an Oscar for it. He can.
Good. I hope he does. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He should. Yeah. He really should.
Yeah, and then my fail of the month is, unfortunately, Resident Evil 4, when they dropped that free mercenaries mode for everyone, they did a little stealth drop, and they dropped microtransactions.
Mm-hmm. I hate that, that tactic, dude. Publishers keep doing it.
I get it, but at the same time, like, if you don't have time to play a game and upgrade your weapons, then just drag it out. Like, don't fucking give these people microtransactions. Like, and the thing is, with these other Resident Evil games, Resident Evil 2, 3, they had microtransactions, you know, like, oh, here, if you want to pay $10, you can unlock everything. Like, I get that, okay? But the fact that they're selling microtransactions for upgrading your guns, I think they're called tickets of some sort. I didn't really look at the pricing, but I'm just like, really, dude? Like, if you can't upgrade your guns, then why are you playing the game? Like, that's something different than just unlocking everything.
Resident Evil's never been play to win or any kind of crap like that, so that does suck. You know, I don't understand why they did that either. It makes no sense.
Yeah, and then the other part of that is the fact that I believe last episode or maybe two episodes ago we dropped that leak about mercenaries mode being in the game files, right? And in the game files they mentioned that Wesker was going to drop.
Yeah, Wesker
and he's not in there.
Nope.
So the fact that hopefully they better drop him later as free DLC and not hide him behind a paywall.
I think they're going to hide him behind the paywall for... they're separate ways. I think he's going to be hidden behind separate ways. I don't want to say it, but I know Capcom. I know Capcom.
Yeah. So, well, whenever that drops, that's going to be my fail for that month too, when it's confirmed. So, yeah, those are my fails.
We'll see if separate ways is good, but no, I'm with you on that one. I'm with you.
All I got to say is Hunk for the win. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I want to play.
Dude, he shits on everybody else. Like, he's my favorite so far.
Hunk is always the best mercenary.
Yeah, he's always lit.
He's just
His like superpower in the mercenaries mode is like ridiculously great.
I might do that right when we're done. We're gonna do arena, but like after that. We'll see. And then to top off, the absurd headline of the week, top secret US documents about Ukraine war leaked via Minecraft Discord.
What?
Yeah, you read that correctly. So according to IGN and a bunch of other news sources, this is actually an international story. Open source intelligence firm Bellingcat, which specializes in fact-checking research, reported that a user on a Minecraft Discord server nonchalantly attached documents containing details of the U.S. strategies in supporting Ukraine. Of course, there's a leak at Biomorph for that. But also, they just arrested the guy.
Didn't that fool just get arrested?
He just got arrested, yeah.
It turns out he was some, like, Air Force.
He's like 21.
Not commander. Yeah, no. He's a young guy, but he's like I saw someone commenting on the Reddit thread about like, damn, how does a Air Force lieutenant or you know, he's not really, really high ranking. They're like, how the fuck does this guy get access to top secret documents or something? But
yeah, some fucking kid, dude. He's 21. He probably grew up in Minecraft.
Jesus.
I mean, there's some weird like arrests happening in gaming. Like, wasn't there a subpoena filed for somebody that leaked the art book for Tears of the Kingdom?
Yes, that happened also just today as well. Discord is Discord.
You see what I mean about Nintendo being up their own fucking ass, dude?
Oh, like, you really? Never heard about the Nintendo Ninjas?
Oh my god!
Legal team is fucking. They're called Nintendo Ninjas Online because Nintendo's legal team is fucking insane. They're like government level legal team.
They're like ninjas.
Yeah.
They're so up their own ass, dude.
Oh, that's fine, dude. They can be up their ass. I'm fine with it.
As long as I get, you know, fucking.
Yeah,
get
keep giving me Breath of the Wild games.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, but that, no, that is crazy though. That fucking, who leaks that shit to fucking a Discord?
Right.
Even then, the information had also been tampered with too, because I guess some of it's false and some of it is. It's fudged in a way to where they know where the source comes from, essentially.
Jesus.
So, yeah, that's just how, you know, intelligence works. Or unintelligence, because, come on, holy shit. Minecraft? Yeah. Anyways, all right. Well, that's this week's episode. Well, we covered a lot there. Thank you, everybody, for listening. So you can find us, of course, on npc.gaming.pod on Instagram. Also, we are available on iTunes, Spotify. Slap those 5-star ratings over here. You can follow me directly at Hyrulean Hustler. And then where can they catch you, motherfuckers?
You can catch me waiting for you in the parking
lot.
No, you can find me on Instagram at TheMightyMonarch. That's the_mighty_monarch. And I'm also a writer for Inside the Magic. So if you want to go find my articles there, you can find me there talking about pop culture news, Star Wars, Marvel, Disney, please don't come after me. And yeah, and that, there you go. And yeah, that's it.
All right then. How are you? So
I was going to say, I'm just Instagram, PlayStation Network, all that stuff, Big Bang Cordova, all one word. Right now, like I said, I've been playing Fortnite. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
I'm not a writer or anything like these guys, producers for the Horrible People's Network or anything like that. I'm just
We didn't plug it. That was a good plug right there.
I'm just a dad.
This is a production of the Horrible People's Network, and of course, we'll see you guys again in 2 weeks. Adios.
Later. Later.